0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on an incredible weekend of Scottish football. Rangers blow their chance to close the gap at the top, losing at Kilmarnock. That chance, of course, came about because Celtic were held by Aberdeen, who came from 2-0 down. There were big wins for the likes of Hearts, both Dundee clubs, and St Johnston as Hibs go bottom. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna.
And it was, as you say, Gordon, the most incredible weekend for me of the Premiership season so far. Aberdeen, they look dead and buried, back for 2-2 at Celtic Park. Neil Critchley and Simo Vallecari, not that Simo was in charge of the team, obviously, Gordon, for legal reasons. Big wins for the two of them. Dundee United stage the comeback to end them all at Tannadice. At 5 past 5, the winning goal went in. Andy, win at Fir Park. And just when you thought you'd seen it all, Philip Clement and Rangers plumb fresh depths at Kilmarnock yesterday. 2 hours might not be enough tonight.
I bet you had a good weekend, Andy Halliday. Anybody out there had a worse combination of results than Andy Halliday?
I was so close to phoning in sick, honestly, Gordon.
Hearts won.
I don't think it gives me much, to be honest with you. But listen, I've missed you for the last couple of weeks now.
Where have you been?
I had my younger brother's wedding last week.
That's a fair enough excuse.
The week before, I was in Manchester.
It was good to have Marvin, but we missed you.
Well, I'm happy to be back. Because I was away for so long, I've actually brought a gift.
Oh.
Do you want to see it? Yeah. To the YouTubers that are watching live.
Oh, yes, as well.
If you're watching live on YouTube, they'll get a good glimpse of this. So, as you know, Gordon
DL
loves a freebie. So he's obviously been champing at the bit. He's been asking everyone in Motherwell, and he eventually got one.
Got him the new Motherwell. Look at that, it's wasted
it's
on
lovely,
him.
It's lovely, isn't it?
It is,
but
yeah.
He also requested a squad number. So there you go.
That's outrageous.
He's got it.
Did you?
I didn't think he was that old.
I thought he was only 62.
Aye.
When did he add 7 more years on?
I have no idea. He's not even 90s all this
some
time.
Some size as well, yeah. Let me tell you.
Three X's on that, is
oh,
that?
Oh, there's a lot of X's before the L.
It's only
he'll
double.
Be chuffed because he's not even had to pay. And football strips are expensive these days, and he is as tight as they come. He loves a freebie. Oh, he'll be delighted.
I'll let you hand it to him tomorrow.
I'm assuming mine's in the car, so I'll get that when we go out.
He'll be wearing that in the studio on Sunday ahead of the Celtic game.
I can't wait, as long as he's showing it backwards.
That's fine. Did you get that printed on the back for him?
I must admit, I never, which is even better. So the fact that either the kit man or Brian's done that. Again, the first time I seen it was I took out the card and I looked up, I wonder if they put his name in the back.
That's outrageous. Anyway, 01419511025. Again, I thought he was only 62. I can't believe it. But 01419511025. We'll give him the strip tomorrow. Your result of the weekend, please.
Well, I was stunned yesterday. It has to be Kilmarnock. When a result like this happens, inevitably the focus, as you'll find in the next 2 hours, Gordon, falls on the team that loses the game. But fair play to Derek McInnes, fair play to Kilmarnock. They dug in, they played well. You fancied something was going to come for them in the break in the second half. Matty Kennedy went close, Marley Watkins scored the goal.
I'm going to go for Hearts, for it being their first win of the season, for it being very, very convincing and in a great manner as well. And again, you've always been looking at the past few fixtures, like when's this first win going to come for Hearts? It's always that new manager bounce that always seems to get the job done. So it's a great timing leading up to the first Edinburgh Derby in the season. And who would have thought that at this point in the season, the Edinburgh Derby, the first one coming, it'd be the bottom of the table clash.
I'll tell you what, must be some weekend if Aberdeen didn't get anyone's result of the weekend. 2-0 down, drawn at Celtic Park. Jeez, Aberdeen.
Can I ask my human laptop when the last time school that somebody came from 2-0 down at Celtic Park?
You know something, I thought it was discussed in the show on Saturday. We weren't sure, were we?
So, did you not find out for us?
No, I didn't.
Come on, great. Human laptop.
Listen, I might be dull, I'm not that dull.
Right, okay. Goal of the weekend.
Oh, you know what I like.
Team goals, you know,
so Aberdeen are getting their flowers in my goal of the weekend. Esther Sockler, I thought was very, very brave for Jimmy Taylor making half-time substitutions, and they were straight involved, and what a goal. It was only a 5-pass combination starting with Mitov. I know what pass you're talking about, Jamie McGrath's. For me, the pass of the season, you'll be doing very well to beat it, but also the pass and to Nielsen
to, him,
to set up Jamie McGrath with his weaker left foot with that little chip pass over the top, but then take nothing away. The half volley through the ball for Jamie McGrath is outstanding, and then a great finish to go along with it.
And it's become a cliche for sure, and it's really easy, but it is the old, if De Bruyne or whoever did that, it would be on loop all weekend long. It would be everywhere. It is outrageous.
Unbelievable.
From Jamie McGrath. Did you give us your goal?
Going for Meshack Ubuchioma off the bench for Dundee United. Utterly hopeless. Jim Goodwin said he was Hibs' best player for 10 minutes. And then somehow, in the 100th minute, 5 past 5, he lobs one in from 20 yards off the underside of the bar. They always look better when they hit the underside of the bar on the way in. And Dundee United will win.
I was some weekend, if you're leaving out Oyegoki of Hearts.
Great goal.
Weaker left foot as well.
I'm astonished you didn't go Hearts first. The Vargas to Shankland. That was a nice goal as well.
Yep. Better than Aberdeen's in terms of team goal. I thought that was unbelievable strike combination between Vargas and Shankland.
A nice problem to have, as they say. Howler of the weekend, Roger.
Howler of the week. Again, there's a good few to choose from. I'm going to go for the two Ross County lads, Eli Campbell and Charlie Telfer. If you see two more thoughtless red cards through the course of the season, you'll be doing well. Campbell was booked in 5 minutes, then clatters someone in the far side halfway through the first half. He walks, and Charlie Telfer outdoes him. I think he was on as a sub for 3 minutes.
3 minutes.
Straight off. Don Cowie did very well to retain his composure.
This shows you, I've done this for every category so far. What a weekend it must have been if the Hibs goalie's off the hook. On the Howler. Joe Newell is off the hook.
Jim Goodwin.
For falling on his backside.
And David Gray for trying to smash the water bottle and missing it.
We could just do the awards all night.
I have a feeling come next Monday we might be talking about Hibs.
Yeah.
Very quickly, because this might surprise you, but the phone lines are busy. So, top man, top performer of the weekend, go.
I've went for James Wilson. Trained with him when I was still at Hearts. He was only a 16-year-old kid. Seen a lot of potential there. Great young boy. Big Hearts fan. And the fact that he's managed to get his first Hearts goal.
There we go.
Benji Kimpioka of St Johnson. 2 goals. Huge win. And I loved the look in his face when he thought the second goal had been chalked off, and then realised it was actually a goal after all. It was great. His face just lit up.
I never got to do my Howler because, like he says, the phones are ringing off the hook. But I'll just say, for one, it's Rangers. I probably can't fit in so much why it's a Howler of the weekend, but just about we've got another 2 hours to talk about
it. Did I skip over your Howler? I think your Howler might take up the next long period of time. With that in mind, Graham is a Rangers fan in Easterhouse. How would you sum up yesterday, Graham?
Oh, nightmare, mate. Nightmare. Howler of the week. His press conference after the game, mate. What is he watching? The chances we missed. Never had any chances. Dessers had went out the roof. My 13-year-old grandson would have scored. And Suter at the goal and the keeper. I mean, if he went to 11 and then him coming out with that, a nightmare, mate. Total nightmare.
How much did it sting as well, Graham? Because we all know that was a chance yesterday. You and your fellow Rangers fans saw the opportunity because, you know, Celtic and Aberdeen drew. Did it feel like you blew it yesterday?
Aye, you're buzzing. Seeing a Saturday night, you're like, oh, we beat them and we're over only 3 points. That's only one game. And they go and do that. But, see, seriously, it's been mad all year. I don't know if something's happened with Clement and the players. Because it just went for you. Being quite good to absolute. Oh, I don't know how you describe it, mate.
Oh, I'm glad you stopped short, I have to say. He thought about lunging in two footed. And they sum up Rangers' performance.
Really, really poor. Really flat, which is not what you were expecting when they get the bounce that Celtic dropped points the 24 hours before. I just thought for the first 5 or 10 minutes you could tell exactly what type of game it was going to be. I thought Kilmarnock were under zero pressure. I thought Kilmarnock were the better team in the first half. Again, talking about reactions, and you then expected one to start off the second half. Didn't come. I thought the game just looked as if it was going to peter out and a 0-0. I thought it was a really poor game in general, but a lot of credit does have to go to Kilmarnock for the way they defended, the way they pressed also in the first half to create they created the better chances throughout the game. But again, just awaiting Rangers for some little bit of quality, but it just never ever came. And like you said, Kilmarnock thoroughly deserved the 3 points.
There's various ways of looking at it, Roger. Like we said with Graham, you've got that result in isolation. You've got the performance in isolation. Add to that the opportunity that was missed. And then add to that the fact that maybe, and this could be the worst bit, maybe it's not that much of a surprise.
Well, at no stage during the game yesterday did you think Rangers were going to win the game of football. They are slow. They have no tempo to their attack and play. There are no overloads. Defensively, you're never that sure about them. They've scored 1 goal in 4 away games. The lowest in the Premier League. 1 goal in 4 away games Rangers have scored. it's pathetic. If you were St Johnson or Dundee, you'd be worried about that level. For Rangers, it's just, it's unbelievable. I mean, even the games that we're winning, Gordon, home to Hibs, home to Dundee, home to St Johnson, poor. Away at Tannadice, poor, slow, one-paced. You felt, we discussed it in the show last Monday night, we said, you know, these games between the two international breaks, you'd find out a lot about Rangers. The game at Killie, the game at Aberdeen, the semi-final against Andy's Motherwell team. I think we've already found out a lot about the Rangers team. Philip Clement has been there a year. I'm not sure the team is better than the team he inherited. In fact, it goes far as to say the team now would lose to the team that he took over from Michael Beale.
Big shout, Graham. Have they gone backwards to that extent?
100%, mate. No, but it's Ryan, they're signing second-class foreigners. We spent $10 million on Danilo and Dessers. We could have got Shanklin and the boy at Aberdeen that came for, went for Hibs for probably change and got Liam Muller for $4 million. We're signing second-class foreigners when there's young boys in this league. The boy watching at Kilmarnock's better than any of the Rangers midfield. The boy at Armstrong's better than any wide player we've got. The two strikers that I mentioned, what's his name at Aberdeen?
Kevin Nisbet.
Nisbet and Shanklin. They're better than anything we've got. We just need to get out of this. With your name ends in a vowel, you're a player. You're no. Andy Halliday's a better left-back than that Brazilian guy we've got.
Nah, when you've got
left back. You were going really well there, Graham.
There was that moment, I guess, actually. And by the way, when he almost carved out an equaliser for Rangers, so I don't want to pin it all on the guy I'm about to mention, but there was the moment where Kelly brought on David Watson and Rangers brought on Kieran Dowell, and a lot of Rangers fans, that wasn't lost on them.
No,
if that's not been too unkind.
If you're standing in the playground and the two of them, you know who you're picking. You know, you're going for Watson every day of the week. David Watson, I'm surprised he doesn't get into the Kilmarnock starting 11 more than he does, because you always feel something's going to happen when David Watson's there. You never think anything's going to happen when Kieran Dowell's there. Rangers, I looked back last night, Gordon, at the team that Philip Clement picked to beat Hibernian 4-0 exactly a year ago. Robin Proper's in for Goldson. That's not an improvement. Jeff Day's in for Barisic, that's not an improvement. Conor Barron's in for Lundstrom, that's not an improvement. Vaclav Cherny's in for Abdallah Sima, that's not an improvement. So Clement has had two transfer windows to improve the Rangers team and has failed miserably.
Thank you to Graham, who's not happy tonight. How would you sum up your mood, Jason?
In a Richter scale, 1 to 10, it'd be 20.
That bad.
I have to say that I've got 3 points for you. See the board, right? The ones that decided to run to the hills, okay? What are they giving Clement an extra contract for? What are they giving him an extra contract? You know, because as far as I can see, when he's been interviewed, he should be a commentator, because the games that he's talking about are exciting. And Rangers, you know, have been playing. It's hard to watch. You know, Clement picking teams. They're picking the teams that he's been picking. They've actually gone backwards. And quote me for quote, he said to me in October, November, we'd be 100, 200% better. Well, I can honestly say we're 100, 200% worse, OK? And I have to say, he should walk, you know, really. See if we get beat by Aberdeen. We get beat in the Europa League and we get beat by Aberdeen. He should walk, OK? That's the second point. The third point is that players to Halliday, I want to ask Halliday, have you ever seen a worse gutless team in your life? Tell me, in a generation, what have you seen any worse team than that? You've got Tavernier, doesn't matter if he has a bad game, he still gets picked. You've got Souter, I don't rate Souter, right? I mean, he was lost in the headlights, and the Dessers, he couldn't hit a barn door. You know, really, that team has gone backwards. And what's the answer? Because I haven't got a clue, because watching Rangers now is like watching paint dry.
There's a lot in there, a lot of passionate points from Jason. Well made, I think you'd have to say. Go reverse order, Andy. I don't expect you to be able to sit and say this Rangers team are full of gutless losers the way that Jason says, but how much of this is on players and performances and...
I think the blame can be shared around numerous aspects, but in terms of the players, I've said that a couple of times, having watched Rangers basically every game this season, I think they've got a lot of nice technical players, but again, I think they lack real athleticism when it comes to these certain games. And I always say, I think especially where we underestimate our league, is teams are always very, very well set up. They're always very, very well organised. So when you know you're coming up against a Derek McInnes team who are always well organised, always well set up, you need a bit of quality. You need to be good in your 1v1 duels. You need that one player that can make a difference. Again, I don't see one player in Rangers' team other than a James Tavernier cross for the wider areas. I don't see what else they're going to get. Bajrami, for me, has impressed since he's came in. He's a number 10. He's not a left winger. Vaclav Chernyi, for me, you're a right. If you're a winger when you get the ball in a 1v1 situation, you have to get after. You need to get to the fullback. You need to get in the box. You need to make crosses in the box. So passive, so safe in the way he played the game yesterday. And I thought that just stretched out the full team. And there wasn't that one player, I thought, except from maybe Jeffrey, and I'm not talking about through quality, I'm talking about enthusiasm. He made a difference in the game. You know, dive with the ball, carry with the ball.
You say he is athletic, though, isn't he? So that's the bit that's missing.
Whereas I look at everybody else, and I didn't see anyone try and grab the game by the scruff of the neck and try and make a difference and try and play that killer pass. And again, you know, Roger alluded to it earlier. I thought the game was lost for Rangers within the first 10-15 minutes. You've never seen any aspect that Rangers are going to go and score a goal, they're going to go and win this game. And I think if they played for another 90 minutes yesterday, they weren't going to score. Roger obviously said that stat, which is damning, the fact that Rangers one goal in four away games, equal to only Ross County in the full league. They've scored 12 goals in 8 games. 6 of them are against Ross County in one game. So if you take that away, they've scored 6 goals in 7 games. There's no threat going forward. And yes, they have, I think it was 7 clean sheets in 9 before the game yesterday. But that being said, there's games within that that we've all watched. We've all got the eye test. Hibs miss a penalty in the game against Hibs. It's 1-0. St Johnson have numerous chances in the game that finishes 2-0. So I just think the blame can be shared across the block, but I don't think the players are living up to expectations just now either.
Jason made so many good points. We could go through his call, you know, for a long time. So the one I wanted to get your thoughts on, Philippe Clement got a new contract not that long ago.
Yeah. My colleague at the Scottish Sun, Robert Grieve, broke a story this morning, Gordon, with Stephen Robinson at St Mirren getting a new 3-year contract extension. He must be absolutely terrified, because the only other two managers to get contract extensions this season are Stephen Naismith and Philippe Clement. Naismith's away already, and Clement has done absolutely nothing to merit the contract extension. We've now had a couple of Rangers fans on tonight wondering where this team is going. I don't know why he got the contract extension. I don't know what he did to merit the contract extension. They won a League Cup 6 weeks after he took over, and since then they've fallen off the pace in the league. They've lost a cup final. They've fallen off the pace in this league, and the team is pedestrian at best.
Jason is not happy, and neither is Kevin. Kevin will be up after these.
Win £400,000, our biggest ever cash prize.
Well, if you're feeling down about the football at the weekend, £400,000 would cheer you up straight into your bank account. That is the reality for someone listening, potentially. So text YES to 61025. Text are 250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter on our website for 250 or call 0330 880 4523. Calls charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only, and all the rules for this Rayo Network competition are on our website. Lines close 5 p.m. on Friday, so don't leave it too late. No phrase, no amount. Don't worry about the five rings. Just answer your phone and the £400,000 would be yours. It's a guaranteed winner as well. Someone will win the lot. And if you want it to be you, make sure you text YES to 61025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here, and there is a lot of anger and frustration, shall we say, out there in various parts of the country. So let's go to Stirling, where Kevin is. Kevin, I know you've been hanging on a while. How do you view things now as a Rangers fan after yesterday?
Well, Gordon, good evening. What I'd like to say is I've been watching the game yesterday, and I just feel that team has let this club down. Eight players, the same players last year, and Vermont, who's the manager of the Rangers club, he has let us down. I don't think he should be the manager. I don't like them to see him stay for another week. I will let him see go tonight or tomorrow, because if we get beat on Thursday, I'm then certainly sure we'll not be in Europe. This team, Vermont, has no got a clue. and that. For me, I would rather have Dan McInnes or Stevie Gerrard, because the simple reason is this team, I know you wanted to win this win. They had a chance to get 3 points yesterday and they blew it. So therefore, I'm not happy with my club, with his manager and the board who sits there and watched that game yesterday. They must know what's going on. They should have the audacity to get rid of him. If they hadn't got the audacity to get rid of him, they should go as well, because the fans had enough. If I was in every other religious board in that country, I would greatly and protest and boycott, because we had enough. We're getting, our club, we're getting laughter, simple laugh, all because of what we are. I'm sorry to say this, Gordon, but I'm so hot as a race supporter. And Tavernier, yes, he's done well, but now he's letting us down, because he knows what he's what to do. He was away, we'll let him go. And for me, if I had a new captain, I would pick Butler as a captain, because Tavernier is no good at.
There's a lot in there, as you would expect. That is the way it is. When things are really good, it's never just down to one thing. Things are really bad, it's never down to one thing. Let's explore the manager a bit more then, because it's clearly going to come up. To what extent does he take the blame? To what extent is he working in a less than ideal set of circumstances which offers him some mitigation?
I think both can be true. Yeah, I do think he's working under some difficult circumstances, but I do think he has a... I do think a lot of the blame has to be pinned on his shoulders as well. I don't think Rangers play an attractive brand of football. I don't think they have for a long, long time. Philippe Clement stated just a few weeks ago that, you know, it needs time. He's obviously got new players and he's integrating a new squad, and he'll probably start to see the best out of his squad in October. I mean, October, they lost 4-1 to Lyon. It was an unconvincing 2-0 victory to St Johnson and our 1-0 defeat to Kelly. Before that, they won 1-0 at home to Hibs, where Hibs missed a penalty and deserved at least a draw out the game. So I don't think they have got better. I actually don't think they've improved since his last statement either, when he made that statement. So I do think he has a lot to blame. And I think Jimmy Tielan at Aberdeen is making a mockery of that statement altogether, because you can see what you can do with a new group of players in a pre-season and how much you can implement a style with new players, and that's why they've went on the record they've went on. And again, it feels, I think this result will feel a lot worse, because Celtic do drop points in, you know, circumstances where nobody really fancied they still thought that they would go and get the job done after against Aberdeen. So what was it 5 points before the game, and you're expecting them to go and close the gap on Celtic. It's now 6 points, and then they've got Aberdeen at Pittodrie coming up, where it could, let's be honest, it could stretch to 9, because right now Aberdeen look like a better team than Rangers.
Two different strands to your point. When Vaslav Cherny fired that over the bar against Lyon from a yard out, that's not because Rangers don't have a chief executive. It's because he's not very good. You know, when goals are conceded against Lyon, the goals conceded late on at Rugby Park yesterday, it's not because there's no chairman in permanent position. It's because they're not good enough. Clement has signed, as Andy said, some nice technical players. Cherny's got caps for Czechia, Bajrami's got caps for Albania. Diomande looked a, you know, decent player in Denmark, came with a good pedigree. They don't look suited to Rangers, they don't look suited to the Scottish League. Philip Clement's playing a brand of football that isn't suited to the Scottish League. Again, as you said about Derek McInnes' Kilmarnock, you find people come to this league and underestimate the other teams, underestimate the difficulty that Rangers and Celtic have week in, week out, to eke out points in this league. And this Rangers team has managed to manufacture some wins while not playing well against Hibs, Dundee United, St Johnson, the cup game against Dundee. It all caught up with them yesterday. And would any of the Rangers fans who phone in tonight have great faith that this team can go and win at Pittodrie and go and win against Andy's Motherwell at Hampden?
Thank you to Kevin. Let's hear from Philippe Clement. We can keep going on the theme of where he is currently, because I know lots of you are trying to make that point. He's disappointed Rangers didn't get more out of the match despite having more possession.
Did you get the game that you expect? And all respect to Kilmarnock in that way. That's also why they only been beaten by Celtic and us in almost the last year. But there's no excuse in that way. So we knew what conditions it was to play here. I was not happy with the first half in that way, that we didn't create enough chances and we gave away too many situations in the duels, that we were not good enough. on the long balls and in the first ball, second ball, was much better in the second half. And that's then the disappointing thing, the moment that you take much more control of the game. And in general, you had the ball in the game. I think it was around 70% of the time. The moment you have the second half, the control, you get the chances there, you hit the crossbar, you have several corners, you have blocked shots, then you need to kill it off. And then it's disappointing to get a goal against like that. So with one blind ball behind the defense in no man's land, and where our defensive line was not good at that moment. But yeah.
See the reaction sometimes. I wonder if that almost makes things worse for Rangers fans. I hear a lot of them, they phone in here. One of the previous callers did it, you know, picking Philippe Clement up on comments. Rangers against Kilmarnock and having more of the ball is just a given. It's never going to be the other way, you know. And I'd take the point if it was like 85% and 15% and you had totally battered the goal down. Take it as a fan of a so-called wee team. You've been there on those days where you might get lucky, you might snatch something, you might get a result, but you know loads of things need to go your way. But that wasn't one of those days for Kilmarnock yesterday.
And I think coming out and saying it was a much improved second half as well, I don't think anyone watching the game would say that Rangers were much improved in the second half. They were maybe slightly better in terms of Kilmarnock never fashioned as many chances as they did in the first half. But out with Dessers hitting the bar from a very narrow angle at a corner, and Igamami having a shot flash across the post when it was 1-0 in the last minute, I don't think they carved out any other chances.
And the thing is as well, you cannot pull the wool over supporters' eyes, Gordon. Those fans have seen the game at Rugby Park, they've seen the game on the television, they know how poor Rangers were, how ordinary the performance was. And then when they hear Philippe Clement saying those things after the game, it just angers them further, and it makes them think, is he trying to cover up for the players' deficiencies? Or even more worrying, does he actually believe that?
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, I get why managers don't always do it. You don't want to come out and go raging and then so-called, or, you know, it's throwing players under the bus, or you don't want to lose the dressing room, all these types of things that you hear. But are you surprised he's never in any of this offered a more critical approach to the team?
Yeah.
Just as an example, the one that springs to mind, because Brendan Rodgers is not that type, is he? He's not going to go right ranting and raving. But remember St Johnstone last season, and he said that's the angriest I've ever been in football. You know that type of thing.
Yeah. To be honest, it would be interesting to see what type of a character he is within the four walls that you don't get to see. Is he that sort of angry persona? Does he have a go at the players at half time or at full time? But I always think you can see why the players react if they've had a bit of a jag at half time. So that's why I was saying at the start of the show that, you know, if Philippe Clement went through the team and had a real go at them, you're expecting an initial reaction in the second half. I don't think that came. And again, I agree with you. It doesn't seem as if he's willing to, you know, criticise himself or the team or the players publicly. But one thing's for sure, whether people think, you know, Rangers have a fantastic, you know, playing squad or a good playing squad, they've got a much better playing squad than he's got them playing right now.
Which is obviously where you would judge a manager, I guess. Mark is a Rangers fan on the line. How do you feel about the manager currently, Mark?
Hi, guys. There's obviously different things going on here. This is the issue. The club's been ran worse than a poor amateur football team, because there's a lot of amateur football teams that ran well. So there's a lot going on. The manager's not to blame for the board deficiencies, needing a CEO, a director of football operations, a chairman. That's not his fault. Also, we've mentioned a bunch of players, Dessers, Dull, but he didn't sign them. Let's remember that. They're not his signings. They're his players now, but they're not his signings. However, I believe he now has to go. So having said what I've said, these issues are not his issues. They're not his fault. But the time's now up, because what's happened now, and we've seen this before, the support have turned. It's not some of the support. The support's turned. All gone. All turned. And when that happens, there is no way back. So they go to Aberdeen in 10 days' time or in 7 days' time. Rangers got there, what, the 10 points behind? So the unfortunately, whoever's running the club now, we know it's George Letham and it's John Gilligan. So they will obviously, they have the authority as being in control just now on behalf of the shareholders. to act, and they have to act now, because if they act now, then this can be saved, I'm hoping, this season. Right now, the manager's not getting to tune out the players. The signings look shocking. The way he's dealt with so much, if you put it all together, the way he dealt with Hadji, the way he dealt with Cantwell. We watched something with Cantwell clips, the way he's played for Blackburn the last two games. He's looked a different player. So the way he's managing the players is not good enough. He's tactically totally inept. He doesn't know how to change a game. He's lost the support. Above all that, he's now lost the range of support. Not some of them, not a percentage have gone. So not on a personal level, but as he's gone. So if they act now, there's a chance to do something here. And I'm looking across the game yesterday, and there's a guy there in Kilmarnock, Derek McInnes, that would be, you know, looking at it now, he's right out. He's learnt a lot from the likes of Walter Smith and guys he's played under.
Oh, I think we lost Mark. He was in full flow. I didn't do anything, didn't touch any buttons. I don't even really have any buttons in this fancy new studio. But Mark made a lot of interesting points. Has he lost all the Rangers fans? In fact, I won't ask you to that. I'll ask the fans to phone in and tell us rather than us speaking on their behalf. Seeing the first point then, Roger, of this, like, you know, leadership in the club, yeah, and all that sort of stuff. You know, who's Philippe Clement's boss currently? Because my understanding from going back a bit is that, why on earth has his name just dropped out of my head? The previous chairman, who's
John Bennett.
John Bennett. My goodness, I'm having a rough night. John Bennett had absolutely no desire to keep sacking managers and changing managers. He felt it was time that just had to stop. And John Gilligan has at least publicly been very similar to that in sort of backing Philippe Clement. So who would decide otherwise? Could it be that things have changed? What's that situation look like?
Ann Budge and Andrew McKinley at Hearts publicly backed Stephen Naismith at the start of the season. They gave him a new contract extension at Hearts. And then Stephen Naismith's results cost him his job. That's what happens in football. There would be goodwill from John Bennett, goodwill from John Gilligan towards Philippe Clement. But eventually in football, the goodwill runs out because of results. And at the minute, the results are trending badly for Philippe Clement. He's been in the job a year. He's never beaten Celtic. They celebrated a home draw with Celtic as though the Champions League had just been claimed. Out of the Champions League qualifiers, embarrassed at home by Lyon, lost an Old Firm Cup final to Celtic at Hampden, lost a league to Celtic, lost 3-0 at Celtic Park a few weeks ago, and now losing at Kilmarnock. One away goal in 4 away games this season. The results are damning for Philippe Clement. And as with any club, Gordon, the board, you know, they can say all the right things, but eventually it just gets to a situation where it's the point of no return.
Briefly, Mark, if you can, because we've got you back, but we're pushed for time. How would you answer those people who say, but you can't keep sacking managers, because if you sack this guy, you'll sack the next guy next Halloween as well?
I'm one of them. I've been saying it all until this weekend. But when you weigh it all up, it's just simply there is no back. There's no coming back because he's lost the full support. He will not turn it around. The players are not playing for him. He doesn't know about tactics. The results have been shocking, absolutely shocking. You can go in the next two games and lose a game. He's lost the support. That's what it comes down to. And the board need to act because things can be won, but they need to make a change now, and I'm afraid Clement's time is up.
Okay, thank you to Mark, and if you want to agree or disagree, now's the time to call. We'll speak to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to @ClydeSSB on X now. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Andy Halliday are here on 0141 951 1025. You get absolutely no prizes, none whatsoever, for guessing what the main topic has been. It was that game at Rugby Park yesterday. And Killy fans, I would love to hear from you. You have my apologies. I do think most of you kind of, it's the way of this world. I look down south, and every time Man United get beat, they get slaughtered. The team that beats them gets very little credit. So please go on record, you two, and tell us how well Kilmarnock did yesterday.
I gave them my performance of the result of the weekend. I have to say, I thought they were great. The way Derek lines them up, it's almost a kind of old-fashioned 4-4-2, isn't it? I love the width that Kennedy and Armstrong give them. two quality players. Vassell and Watkins are two old-fashioned centre-forwards to just go and rumble you up, and Watkins finished well. The back four, brilliantly drilled, played really well. Robbie McCrory will love that clean sheet against Rangers.
You see,
he'll love his win bonus.
Interaction.
Indeed, with John Lundstrom.
Yeah, what do you make of that?
Well, listen,
we're now analysing people's social media posts.
Just go on with it. And the two in the middle of the park, it was Donnelly and Lyons yesterday. You look at the formations.
David Watson doesn't get into that midfield at the moment.
They should be outnumbered in there. And yesterday, you wouldn't have known there were two against three. So, in every area, Derek's team did their jobs and they deserved their win.
I thought they were very good. And like I said, I don't think it was just, you know, be hard to beat, be very well organised. I thought they actually got after Rangers. I thought they pressed them high up the pitch in the first half. I thought they created a couple of good openings doing so. But again, like, we can overanalyse football at times. Sometimes it's just about doing the basics very well. And I thought Kilmarnock were fantastic at doing the basics yesterday. To have a style of play, you have to win first and second balls. You have to run. You have to be honest in your work. I thought Kilmarnock done all of that extremely well. I thought they had all the best players in the park. And the star man for me was Ndaba.
He was really good, wasn't
he? Very good.
Something that comes up quite a lot here about, you know, how you sort of deal with that challenge. And I wonder, if you're going to play it, and this is not meant to be disrespectful, obviously Kelly would look to go direct, and they did. You look at the goal, it's just turned over the top by David Watson. But if you're Rangers and you come there and you do that, you know, you go long and you're not going to do it as well as them, it is a tough place to go, there's no doubt about it. But we saw what can happen, and quite frankly, what should happen. See, when Ange Postecoglou's Celtic team were really good and they had a really clear plan, you just go there and you do your plan. And you're better because you've got more money and it'll work. And last season, Brendan Rodgers, obviously you'll all remember the night that Celtic won the title, wrapped up the title. If you do your bit, if you've got a sophisticated plan in your Celtic or Rangers and you carry it out, it won't really matter what else happens. So is that what we're seeing yesterday? Where Rangers don't have that.
You mentioned Celtic and Down, was it 5-0 or 6-0? I think they won down there to clinch the league last season. Matt O'Reilly was an inspired former. I remember a Gordon Strachan team going to Rugby Park and clinching the league when Nakamura scored a free kick. I can remember Rangers going there, I think 2011.
I'm talking about 3-0 off after.
It's absolutely confirming the point you make. When Old Firm teams are on top of their game, they'll go to Rugby Park, no disrespect, they'll go to Firth Park, they'll go to St Mirren Park, and they will impose their style on the other team and they will win the game comfortably. Rangers, not only did they not impose their style in Kilmarnock, I'm not really seeing a style that they would have to impose in Kilmarnock.
That's what I mean. And I don't want to labour the point because we're in danger of taking something away from Kilmarnock, which I don't like, Andy, but it's almost like if you were a Killy player, you would know, it should be that, like, you know, if they're on their game, there's only so much you can do. But they would have known yesterday. They only had to carry out their game plan to a certain degree and it would work.
Yeah, and it did. And again, it looked very, very comfortable for Kilmarnock. And for as direct as Rangers were, you know, Roger talked about being outnumbered in the middle of the pitch. Anytime the ball dropped, there was only one team that was latching on to the second balls and the loose balls in the middle of the pitch. And I do think, I've said that a couple of times with this Rangers team, I do think they have some really good players and really nice technical players. But I do think at times they are extremely predictable.
Is it easy for me to say, and you're a professional footballer, you tell me, it looked yesterday that Kilmarnock's players, the individual players, wanted it more than their opposite numbers?
Again, I always find it very, very difficult to answer the questions. I don't think a football player's ever went onto a pitch and not felt as if I don't want to win this game today. But again, it comes down to the humility of doing the basics well, because everybody wants to play a good brand of football, but you have to run. You have to make sacrificial runs in behind. You have to press people. You have to tackle people. You have to win the first and second balls. Kilmarnock certainly done all of that better than Rangers.
Archie is a Rangers fan. How do you feel about this team and this manager at the moment, Archie?
Well, I think, first of all, I think he has to go. I think it's going to cost us more in the long run. I know it's going to cost us a few clubs to peel off. But I mean, obviously, I've been on the show a few times, and I said that they should never have given him that contract to begin with. I mean, he won a League Cup. They rewarded failure again. They rewarded failure. They won a League Cup. They threw a league away as a manager. And they've extended that to 2028. I think the players wrote on applauding the fans was just complete contempt, to be honest with you. He has to go. And I think I would like to see somebody coming in that knows our game, because I was speaking to somebody the other day. I've spoken about Tavernier being a captain a million times, but somebody come in and actually you know, take that captaincy off him, you know, and give it to Big Butlin. There's obviously a relationship breakdown as well. You know, the players, see, if you look at the manager, his energy for weeks is totally defeated. He's drained. It's like he's, the heart's drained for him, and so is the captain. The captain's no heart for the club anymore. He was one away. He was meant to get a move. He's no heart. So see, if your two leaders, your captain and your manager, of no heart, that obviously goes through the team. And I think there's a relationship breakdown with a lot of players. The problem with Hadji, Big Butlin's obviously got issues with him. And I think, see, if I'm a captain leader, see if that's my captain, I'd bet the manager door to find out why he's still a captain. And see if I've somebody like Big Butlin, he should be the captain. Is it something about him? He's full of passion. You can see, you know, he wears his heart on his sleeve. And I'd be peed off if I'm a player in that park with a big bit of presence like Big Butlin's, and you've got somebody like Tavernier. And the boy said it. Doesn't matter how bad he plays, manager after manager. And just another quick thing. See, if you look at over the years, I don't think Rangers, the last good manager we had was Walter Smith. Right? Arguably Gerrard because he's top 10. Right? But Walter Smith is the last good manager we've had to actually win a lot of trophies. Right? And every single manager that Celtic get, look at Celtic's last managers, every single one of them are coming in and winning doubles and trebles. You know, Anil, you've got Neil Lennon, Postecoglou. Every single manager, they come in is successful. And the last successful manager we've had, apart from Gerrard Snowden 10, was Walter Smith.
You know, to be fair, Andy, and this might even be even worse for the Rangers fans to accept, though. The notion that you could be doing better with this team, that's the bit that comes back on Philippe Clement. Is it still the harsh reality Rangers could have a really good manager and still not be able to do what Celtic are doing because the clubs are in different places?
I always remember Mark Warburton saying, which Archie obviously puts under the category as a bad manager, that there can't be two good cops in Glasgow when it comes to the Rangers and Celtic managers. I think the best possible example of that being true, though, is the fact that Giovanni Van Bronckhorst got to a Europa League final with Rangers, as Ange Postecoglou won a double with Celtic, and Giovanni Van Bronckhorst lost his job within 2-3 months, that the majority of Rangers fans were wanting because of the product of football they were seeing domestically. So I think that obviously proven to be true. But listen, I think as much as we can say managers, I think Celtic have had a lot better teams than Rangers have, and that is why they've been winning doubles and trebles. So again, I'm never going to sit here and say that I think a manager should go. I can only give my opinion on what I watch and what I see, and I don't think that the product of football we're seeing at Rangers just now is reflecting what the playing squad is. But I also will say, if Jack Butlin got the captain's armband tomorrow, Rangers aren't going to improve just because, you know, Jack Butlin's got a cotton band wrapped around his arm. I don't think that's going to make them improve right now.
Very quickly, Roger, just something that Archie said or alluded to in amongst that. Are we overanalyzing stuff? Is there anything in the fact that a couple of weeks ago Jack Butlin criticised the style of play after the Lyon game, and then yesterday Philippe Clement name checks him as being in no man's land? Is there any sort of disagreement there?
I will say is I don't think it's working just now. Archie's had a pop at a few of the players there. Some of those players have done well for Rangers in the past, and you mentioned Jimmy Tellin earlier on. Look at some of the Aberdeen players who were discarded last season. Papagai Banks scored half a dozen goals before being injured. Esther Sokler scored that great goal at Celtic Park at the weekend. Bessouin, Morris, all of these guys have been rejuvenated with a new manager taking charge of the team. You wonder about these Rangers players. Some of them individually have had good careers. You just wonder if a different voice, a different tactic, a different motivation might improve what's happening there.
Okay, let's see how the rest of you feel. Get your calls in. A bit of a light humour, a comic relief break for you all, since it's been very doom and gloom, especially for Andy Halliday tonight. Let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
You won't believe this, but last week, Andy Halliday, you were off. Roger Hannah sat in your chair. It was still a heads, which meant he played on Beat the Pundit. Outrageous. 01419511025. Lines close at 7.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here. 01419511025 is the number. So much reaction coming in to yesterday's game at Rugby Park, so keep it coming. I know generally sort of negative voices will shout the loudest, but we're in Super Scoreboard experiment time. Not heard one Rangers fan phone in yet who says this is all over the top, Clement's the man, have a bit of patience. So if you are out there, why not give us a call? You know, I always like to try and balance things up or try and hear opposite views, so feel free. Remarkably, because when we left this studio at 6 o'clock on Saturday, I thought we would have a lot of chat tonight about Celtic and Aberdeen and a 2-0 lead thrown away and Aberdeen stealing a point. Not stealing, that's unfair. Getting a point. But that's not quite been the case. Events yesterday have taken over, so give us your thoughts on that game if you want, and anything else out there. Now's a good time. We'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. Kieran is on the line. How are you, Kieran?
Not too bad.
Have you ever played before?
No, I haven't, no.
Okay, who's your team, Kieran? Just to assess what kind of weekend you had.
Celtic, so bit mixed, but
so still like bad right on track. Saturday, but cheered up yesterday, basically.
I think so. Big careless to start the second half, but I think we probably just about got away with it.
Yeah, we'll maybe talk more about that once we've quizzed. Let's see how we go. If it's heads, you will play Andy Halliday. If it's tails, it'll be Roger Hanna -2. You've not been playing against anyone at like engagement parties or anything recently?
No, that was just a one-off.
I can't believe he's taken the brand on tour, Andy, on his own.
I know. I would quite like to see Roger play tonight.
It's like when someone, you know, quits a band, goes, does their own solo stuff. He's out touring bowling clubs and rugby clubs, playing Beat the Pundit against people. Oh, I've lost the coin. That was a terrible technique.
That's what you get.
It's embarrassing.
It's an absolute joke.
Embarrassing.
Andy?
Heads.
I'm fatigued. Again. Too much football. Too much football quizzing.
See, if I'd been in the chair, if Marv had been here, I'd have been in that
chair.
We may
swap seats.
Well, you never know.
Anyway. For 1 week, just to see.
Right, let's give Andy something else to listen to. Kieran, that means obviously he can't hear your answers, which is the aim of the game. So answer as many as you can. And if you'd rather pass and move through them, that is good advice, I would say. Okay?
Yep, sounds good.
Right, 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Which League One side play their home games at Lynx Park?
Pass.
Who scored Celtic's first goal on Saturday?
Hatate.
Before Nicky Devlin, who was the last player to make his Scotland debut?
Oh, pass.
Alexandro Bernabe is on loan in which country?
Brazil.
Paul Pogba's brother played for which Scottish team?
Dundee.
Who's the manager of Fenerbahce?
Jose Mourinho.
Who's bottom of the Scottish Premiership?
Of County.
Okay, let's bring back Andy Halliday. Can you hear us?
Yes, you were loving that song, weren't you?
About 10cc.
That's right up your street, that, isn't it? Is that your era?
No, that's actually before my era.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm telling you.
You sure?
Yeah, no, 100%.
Right, 30 seconds, Andy, and your time starts now. Which League One side play their home games at Lynx Park?
Montrose.
Before Nicky Devlin, who was the last player to make their Scotland debut?
Ben Doak.
Celtic's Alexandro Bernabe is on loan in which country?
Argentina.
Paul Pogba's brother played for which Scottish
Partick
team?
Thistle.
Who is the current manager of Fenerbahce?
Jose Mourinho.
Who is bottom of the Scottish Premiership?
It is Hibs.
Before he signed for Hibs, which team did Dwight Gayle last play for?
Is it Stoke?
Okay, Kieran, what's the verdict?
No, not great.
Oh, no, it's not good. That's not the words I want to hear. It got off to a bad start for you because Andy Halliday, I thought, is that your weakness or is it nicknames?
Both. Nicknames definitely worse, but I'm also not great at stadiums.
You're not great at stadiums, but even you got this. I don't know if this one's been etched in your memory or something.
Do you know what? I've scored my first league goal for Livingston there, and it's always kind of stuck with me. It was a good goal as well.
That's a good start. There we go. So you're always going to remember Lynx Park. Describe it to us.
Cut in for the right hand side back when I was a right winger.
Oh,
cut in for the right hand side and lasered it far top left hand corner.
You remember this last year? We discovered the crossover of pundits. One of his first. I found an old
notebook of mine from when I was out and about doing games. And actually, was that, what was it, your...
No, that was my very first league, my first ever going professional football, Ross County away.
I was at a game, also the one of his first games, or his first start.
Montrose again?
No, what was the Partick Thistle game?
Oh yeah, that was my first start.
His first start. And Simon Donnelly was in the Thistle team, Roger Hannah. Oh. What a crossover that is.
Absolutely.
You think different eras. But Simon, obviously, an old man by then, he won't mind me saying, and a young man. Anyway, right, Lynx Park, Montrose. Rio Hatate got Celtic's first goal. Did you get that, Andy?
I never got asked that question.
No, we never asked
that question. How have I managed to miss that out? That is an absolute disaster. I'm having one tonight. Do you know what it is? I'm starving. I'm going to blame that. My stomach keeps rumbling. Did you miss that out?
No, we didn't ask that question.
See, as soon as I just started panicking, I now don't know what to do. Nicky Devlin, before that it was Ben Doak. I'll just give Kieran it, right? See how it goes. All right. Kieran's level with you. Before Nicky Devlin, the last player to make their Scotland debut was Ben Doak. So you go one in front. He equalised, though, with Alexandro Bernabes in Brazil. Yeah. Paul Pogba's brother played for Thistle and he got it. Jose Mourinho, Fenerbahce, you both got it. Hibs are bottom. So I think, even though I didn't even ask you both the same questions, just having one of those nights, I think Andy's out of sight. Dwight Gayle played for Derby last.
Did he?
I believe.
And I said Stoke as well, Andy.
So there we go.
I tell you what, see if Roger said, if he was going to say Stoke as well, I would check that.
I know, I would double check that. I'm now giving Kieran questions that Andy didn't even get, but I still think it wasn't enough for you, Kieran. Hard lines.
No bother at all.
So tell me more about Saturday then. Just one of those days, or any sort of worry that Celtic's early season magic is wearing off, or what? How do you view it?
I don't think so. I think the first half was pretty good. I think it was just one of those occasions where start of the second half, maybe a little bit of see setting in. Aberdeen got one back, bit the confidence up. Particularly Smigel at the back was a bit careless. But no, I don't think so. Disappointed on the day, but I think they'll kind of learn from that and from the manager's reaction afterwards. It sounded as though, you know, he'll not let the players away with that sort of lack of concentration for that kind of 10-15 minute spell and let them back in. They just about justified a draw in the end.
Yeah, again, Roger, credit to Aberdeen. It has to be that way. We spoke about this with Kilmarnock. It will sometimes get lost. It's a brilliant response
from
Aberdeen. Because let's be honest, you're all thinking 3, 4, 5 maybe at half time.
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody was. And fair play to Jimmy Tillin for making the changes at half time and being proactive. He got his reward. My goodness, he nearly won it. You know, if Duke hasn't handled that over the line, they might well have got the most astonishing of wins. In terms of Celtic, I think Daz made a good point in the show on Saturday.
Oh.
I know. He deserves a shirt for it. Trusty and Scales, I'm not sure of the balance there. They dreadfully miss Carter Vickers when he's not there. Be fascinated to see if he flies out. I know Andrew McLean's away to Bergamo for the Atalanta game. Be fascinated to see if Cameron Carter-Vickers is on the Celtic flight tomorrow. Greg Taylor, I'm less convinced about. I have to say whether he'll be ready or not. But Celtic aren't the same without Carter-Vickers.
Andy, you can always take one game and then project a big picture onto it. So, you know, Kieran's more of the... just one of those days. Celtic dipped for a bit in the second half and Aberdeen capitalised and they were good. Nothing to worry about. Those who worry about things in the Celtic support might say that defence, I'm not sure that's gonna do. And actually, are we on a run now of, clearly not a run of bad results, but you know, maybe, you know, drop points or slightly less than convincing performances, is it a sign that things are heading in a particular direction?
Well, listen, Celtic couldn't score in the first 3 minutes and blow teams at the water every week. Which is what they were doing for the first 6-7 games of the season. So listen, it wasn't a great performance against Ross County, but they got the job done. Again, I don't think it was a really poor performance by Celtic. I thought the chances were there. They obviously had the 2-0 lead. I just think Jimmy Terrell and these men deserve a lot of credit for making two really bold half time substitutions. And again, I know we can get carried away with styles and stats and whatnot, but I can't believe Aberdeen made 35 passes in the second half. Like, that's less than 1 a minute, and win the game 2-0 in the second half, and it could have been 3-0 and get ourselves the 3 points if Duke doesn't obviously hand that ball over the line. So what it was, though, was that it was a very good game. I thought I really enjoyed watching for the parts that I did watch. I think it was two good teams going at it. And again, I must admit, I do agree with Roger when I do say the lack of Cameron Carter-Vickers in that Celtic back four, I think really matters when it comes to these bigger games. And I think it's going to matter a whole big deal on Wednesday if he's not there.
It was the kind of game in Celtic Park on Saturday that the league needed. You know,
it was a great advert, wasn't it?
Rangers haven't been able to keep pace with Celtic. Can't keep pace with Aberdeen at the minute. But the top two, you know, it would have gone flat after the build-up to the game, Gordon, if Celtic had just gone and won 4-0. You know, the fact that Aberdeen came back and played so well in the second half, it was a great advert. I was sitting at Tannadice and I thought I was getting the excitement of the day at Tannadice. But listening to, you know, obviously Gabriel was at the game, Gordon. He was sending you guys the messages as it was getting into the 102nd minute at Celtic Park. And it was fantastic. It was fantastic to listen to. It was just the type of game that the Premiership needed this season.
I've had a text from a good friend of mine who must have been listening to the show, and he said Inverness, when replying to the last time Celtic dropped points for a 2-0 half-time lead. Again,
I didn't know you knew any Celtic fans.
No, he's not a Celtic fan.
He's just a Stato.
Well, again, that's what I was going to say. He's not really a big Stato, so I'm surprised at the text. And I think that might need fact check.
Would that be up there, presumably?
Oh, I don't know. I remember Celtic losing 3-2 up there. Not sure there was two ahead.
What was the scoring in that Hampden semi?
The semi-final, the David Raven.
Yeah. Josh Meeking's day. No,
I'm not sure Celtic were two on that day. Don't think so.
Anyway, it's rare, clearly, is what we've discussed. Let's bring in Stephen. Thank Kieran for his time. What do you think, Stephen? Do you read a lot into Saturday from a Celtic perspective, or one of those days?
I would say on Saturday was a really good second half performance from Aberdeen. Granted, they may have not had as many touches in the game, but they've done what a lot of teams have been unable to do over the last couple of years, come to Parkhead and take a point, you know. So I think as a Celtic fan, I was disappointed by the defence in certain occasions, you know, which was kind of led on to my point really about our recruitment in that area. But I think on the whole, for Scottish football, we can't complain when teams, you know, up their game, because ultimately we say it's been a two-horse race for many of a year. So when a rival team comes in and shows a bit about them, I think we have to applaud them. You know, they've came and done what other people can't. So hats off to them, I say.
Yeah, I mean, Andy mentioned the stats, Roger. It's efficiency. Let's put a positive spin on it. I know some people have used this to whack Aberdeen a bit or sort of take away from the achievement. What was it, 16% possession in the second half? I must admit, even though those stats can be...
What was their XG?
I have no idea.
Thank you.
Sound like Hugh Keevans.
But that still did surprise me. You know, you can spin things and all that, and we spoke about Philippe Clement, but I didn't expect it to be that low, basically. But there's no point in taking away the quality. And then the momentum that they had, as you mentioned, the Duke, just for the avoidance of doubt,
Well, it's not a goal.
It hits his hand and goes in.
Absolutely not. But it was fascinating. I really enjoyed the discussion the back of 2 o'clock on Saturday. You gave it the big build-up, quite rightly, the Celtic-Aberdeen game. One of the questions you asked the lads was, how will Jimmy Tilleen approach the game? And I think we agreed that he wouldn't change his approach. You know, he wouldn't try and park the bus. Sometimes you're forced back just by the sheer force of Celtic's attacking momentum. But, you know, he tried hard to play. They were really well organised. And at half time at 2-2, he didn't say, hey, listen, I'm going to put on another defender. I want out of here at, you know, 2-0 or 3-0. He changed his attacking options. He took off Nisbet and Clarkson, who had missed a sitter in the first half. He put on Sokler and Duke. And, you know, he clearly drove those Aberdeen players to believe they could get something. And they did.
What about the other side of it then? People were looking for it to be a statement game. Are Aberdeen there to stay? You know, that's what people were looking for, and people kept saying that they've not had as big a test on paper yet. They've played X, Y and Z, and they were after Europe, and the amount of excuses that were getting made to try and take away from Aberdeen's run was quite remarkable. Did that prove anything going forward? Did it prove they are there to stay?
In what way? In terms of a title challenge? No. in my opinion. But I certainly think they can rival that second and third place. Again, I think they've got a long way to go. I think over the course of the season, I still think Rangers will finish second in the table. But what we are seeing is the best Aberdeen side probably since the Derek McInnes days, which is what Aberdeen have been thriving for a long period, I think.
Okay. Anything that did worry you going forward, Stephen?
Well, to be fair, I think coming, when you talk about the Aberdeen game, or just in general.
Yeah, so like overall, you know, anything you saw there that you think might be a problem going forward, or just general form?
I think for me, I think Celtic have a problem over the last couple of years. I don't think they've ever really recruited a really solid addition, a partner for Carter Vickers. Liam Scales has come in, and he's, for the money that we paid for him, he's been fantastic signing. But I believe with the signing of Trusty, which is reportedly £7 million, I just don't really see enough in that guy. I know it's early days, but doesn't he look mobile for me? Doesn't he look as if he's got pace? And I know we're putting him up against the likes of Borussia Dortmund and stuff, but it became really apparent for me that there's a lack of pace there. And I just think Celtic's recruitment in that position could have been a lot better, because I just think there's probably better centre-halves that we could have got. You know,
I thought he was quick, to be fair. I thought that was meant to be his attribute, you know. Yeah. Even if there are other things lacking,
I think Scales has done a million times better than I expected Liam Scales to do when he came back from Aberdeen. He's been fantastic. The Champions League man of the match against Slovan Bratislava, he's done really well since Brendan Rodgers came back to the football club. I'd be interested to see what Carter Vickers and Trusty were like together, to see if that's a more solid formation. I don't think there's been anything wrong with Carter Vickers and Scales, I have to say, but the problems arise when Carter Vickers isn't there. He is their best defender.
Talk to us about this notion of balance, Andy, and, you know, if Trusty and Scales are both left-sided. I get that, because that would make sense in an ideal world, but if you're signing one sort of one centre back in the summer and you spend £6-7 million on him, surely you're then not, because you know that it might be Carter Vickers that's injured. You know, he can't guarantee that he comes in and replaces Liam Scales. So,
but I think that's what the aim was. No,
For him to be first choice.
For me, they pay that money because he's to be first choice alongside Carter Vickers.
Yeah, but Carter Vickers is not always fit and available. No, so if you look at the last
he's
couple
not,
of seasons,
they're certainly hoping so. Not.
I get that, but my point is, if you're going to spend £6-7 million, are you hoping that when he does have to come in and play alongside another left-sided player, that it's not the end of the world?
Yeah. No, I get that. In an ideal world, you have a left-sided centre-half and a right-sided centre-half, but how many teams do we see across Europe that have two right-footed centre-halves? Yeah. I don't think it's something that's abnormal. Again, I do firmly believe that Celtic were recruiting for a centre-half because they wanted four to pick from, and I do think the reason they paid the fee for Austin Trusty, it was to be first-choice partner alongside Cameron Carter-Vickers. I think Liam Scales deserves a lot of credit for not allowing that to happen, for his performances not only this season but last season. And again, I don't think from what we've seen from Austin Trusty so far, I don't think he's going to oust Liam Scales in the near future.
And on to the small challenge of Atalanta as well for Celtic. Thank you to Stephen. Good time to call. We'll get you on next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna here. 0141 951 1025 is the number that you need. We're looking back on a busy weekend. It is one of those nights we could do this till midnight, let's be honest. I can see the number of people phoning.
No, we couldn't have an ironing to do.
Ironing?
Oh, why?
Right, okay, don't let us get in the way.
Monday night ironing.
That is the worst. That's the worst of the household chores
you
for
think,
me.
Oh, no, you I like disagree. That? Oh, no, nah. I disagree completely.
Well, maybe it's because I've got a 3-year-old and the clothes are all so small and like frilly and just stupid. And I think, why am I ironing this?
Mm-hmm. So are you the type of guy that would get all his stuff out the washing and iron every single bit of it before you put it away?
No.
Oh, that's the way it works in our house.
What, everything? Socks?
Bed sheets, jammies.
As soon as I'm leaving the house, I pull out the most creased bit of clothing I get. And then,
before I leave. It's not, these aren't my rules for what it's worth. But it's a nightmare.
Oh, no, that's too much.
Nah, more of a hooverer or floor mopper, I would say.
I don't mind hoovering.
I like a bit of that, bit of Mrs. Doubtfire. I'm a
dishwasher.
No, a dishwasher.
Again, I don't. I do, you know, prefer it sounds the weird. Dishes. We're going well off tangent uh-huh. here, but I don't put it in a dishwasher. Just clean it.
I have to say, I don't actually mind a bit of dishes. But what's just happened here? What's happened? The crazy pony sent a teaser in for you.
Yes.
I think you two will scoosh this, quite frankly.
Oh,
but
I don't
know.
Keep me says that, Roger.
No, me neither.
Let's give it a bash anyway. Can you name the nine Scots with a full international cap for Scotland? Quite simple. Can you name the nine Scots?
Oh, as in Scott.
Their name is Scott.
All right, Scott McDominay, McSauce.
Yep. See, Billy McSauce. Gilmore got his first start, didn't he?
Yeah, did well.
That's but Conte called him timid at the start of the game, didn't he? So there was a bit of a mixed
listen,
bag there.
Everybody's timid compared to Antonio Conte.
That's true.
That's true.
I don't know why I'm writing Scott before every answer when they're all Scots. McKenna.
Mm-hmm. Take one from you, Roger.
No, you won't.
No.
Scott Dobie.
Oh, he's just showing off. Honestly. Going in with the hard ones. Okay, we'll leave it there. Fulltime at Clyde1.com to send your question in and test the pundits. Let's bring in Liam in Coatbridge. Hi, Liam.
Hello, how are you doing?
Hi, Liam.
My point is, I watched the Celtic game on Saturday and I watched the Rangers game on Sunday. And I'll be quite honest with you, Rangers are absolutely they're a really bad team. And I generally believe that Dundee United could actually come above them and be in third place.
Or it's you've not even got Rangers to finish top three.
Watching them, come on, I'm a Celtic fan, come on, it's just that he's an idiot.
He's all right.
He's not got a clue. He hasn't got a clue. And I generally believe that Dundee United are a well organised side. And Aberdeen, I don't, Rangers will not get nothing from Aberdeen. Midweek.
So we've gone already from Rangers won't challenge Celtic to the title. I think a lot of people believe that. We've gone from, we've got a fight in their hands for second place. We're not going to drop them out of the top three, surely.
I think they'll finish second in the league. I don't think it'll be comfortable, certainly for what we've seen so far this season. But what a job it would be for Jim Goodwin if Dundee United can manage to finish above Rangers this season.
Are we getting a bit ahead of ourselves, Roger? It might happen, and then everyone will clip this up and phone and say, yeah, I remember, and you lot scoffed. It's not about scoffing, just about assessing what generally happens, even when there are, you know, underperforming Rangers teams. We've seen them before. We've seen Aberdeen finish above them.
Rangers will finish, in my opinion, they will finish second in the league this season. There's a lot of work to be done at the football club. Everybody knows that, but I think there's a lot of work to be done on the football pitch. You know, I think people are linking the two. You maybe can link the two things, but, you know, Rangers need to get a full-time chairman, they need to get a chief executive, need to get a director, a head of football operations. But none of that really is down to what happened yesterday at Rugby Park. I think Philip Clement, he said, look at our performances in October. As Andy pointed out, the performances in October haven't been very good. He needs to very, very quickly turn things around.
Thanks to Liam. What about Billy, who's a Rangers fan? Are you worried about this, Billy? How much are Aberdeen going to challenge other teams we've now apparently thrown into the mix as well? Is that the reality, or is that over the top stuff?
No, it's not over the top at all, Gordon. Thanks very much for putting me through the show, and I'm absolutely disgusted with the situation with Rangers. Philippe Clement, I just can't see where Philippe Clement is coming from. He's no tactics, he's no... It's the same every week. After every game, he's saying the same thing. I watched the game... I listened to the game on Saturday on Super Scoreboard, and Aberdeen were absolutely fantastic and unlucky not to win. And then I watched the game yesterday, and I was like, what the... I'll not swear.
Thank you.
No, I just said, what's going on here? There was no fight. There was no desire. There was not one player stood up yesterday in the Rangers team and said, we are going to go for this. And I am absolutely fearful for next Wednesday night up at Pittodrie, because I honestly think Aberdeen are going to give us a lesson in football, the same as what Celtic did at Celtic Park.
It becomes a heck of a schedule, this, yeah, for Rangers.
Well, listen, Gordon, we flagged it in the show last Monday night. We looked ahead, you know, the games that Rangers faced between the two international breaks in October and November. We thought it was a far harder schedule than the previous, you know, prior to the international break. Starting at Kilmarnock, you saw how hard it is. Going to Aberdeen, you know, we're almost forgetting Rangers have a European game against Steaua Bucharest on Thursday night. That's tough in itself. There's a semi-final at Hampden. Is it a week on Sunday, Andy? They take on Motherwell.
I think so, yeah.
It was a League Cup semi-final at Hampden against Motherwell that basically finished Pedro Kishina. Philip Clement cannot allow that to happen. He cannot allow his team to fall 9 points behind Aberdeen by the end of October. So the away record needs to improve. The away scoring record needs to improve markedly. You know, there was a couple of callers earlier on saying he's done for. I'm not 100% sure that he's done for, but he needs to reverse this decline now and give the team a shake.
I think Thursday, I get Roger quite rightly said there, we're all talking about the domestic fixtures that are coming up. Obviously, Pittodrie in just under 10 days' time, but Thursday for me is huge. I think they have to start the game well. They have to start the game with energy and a purpose, and it's getting to that stage. I feel like, Gordon, that it's not just results that Rangers need now, it's performances. They need to really go and produce a performance that sends the fans home thinking there's something that they work with. That's the benchmark now. That's the standards that we've set to obviously try and match with the upcoming weeks to come. And to be fair to Philippe Clement, what I will say is last season he did show that he's got enough about him to put the team on a run. It's not so, I don't think performance-wise we've seen anywhere near that we've seen at certain times last year. But listen, they need to start somewhere on Thursday. I think it would be a very good opportunity to try and do so.
I mean, Billy, Thursday, how important does that become? And probably stating the obvious.
Obviously, we need to put in a performance. But again, that performance, you know, who have we got there that's going to do the performance? I don't see Emdy at Ibrox at the present moment and their playing staff that can actually grab a hold of the game and say, right, let's go for it. And I mean, I know Andy's obviously, Andy's been in teams that have had people that have said, right, we can do this, we can do this. We haven't got a captain. We have not got a captain. We have not got a talisman. They can turn around and say, right, we're going to do this, 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 and this. And that comes from Clement, down to Tavernier, down to even Burton. I mean, we haven't got any there that's going to actually say, this is how we're going to play as a team.
Every time something goes wrong, James Tavernier's name will be mentioned. I'm not saying that's wrong. I just mean he is... Yeah. is when he leaves, there will be a James Tavernier criticism hole left in this show because it's just constant, Roger. The thing that is different this season is even his biggest fans would accept the performance levels aren't where they have been previously, and the goals aren't there and the assists aren't there. Yeah, that's a fact.
That's the thing that's kept them going for so long, the numbers. Everyone knows he's not the world's best defender. You've seen it year in, year out at Rangers. If he was the world's best defender, he wouldn't be at Rangers. But the number of goals he's scored, over 100. Number of assists he's had for a team, over 100. They have been enough to keep him in the team. When those numbers have fallen off, as they have this season, then people look at the defensive frailties. They look at what they would describe as the captaincy frailties. And they use that as a stick to beat James Tavernier. James Tavernier, for me, still isn't Rangers' biggest problem. Far from it. If you were starting with a clean sheet of paper, listing Rangers' problems, he'd be well down the list. But there are fans who, a bit like one of the callers said, I think it was Mark said earlier on about Clement, there are fans who have made up their minds about James Tavernier now, and they won't change them.
I suppose, Andy, one of the most common things we hear when we speak about James Tavernier is, well, he's not a great defender and he scores a lot, so move him further forward. And we always shoot it down and we always say a whole list of Rangers managers haven't wanted to do that. Philippe Clement's now sort of started doing it in game, and then the irony being Casemiro goes at right back, drops behind the rest of his defence, plays Marley Watkins onside. Philippe Clement name checks him for it in the press conference, so the Rangers have an issue there.
And there's also two scenarios towards the end of the second half where James Tavernier gets a straight pass as a winger and looks uncomfortable in the situation because it's completely different. Although you talk about the numbers and the assists and his attacking output put for a right back, a lot of that is because it's attributes that's suited for a right back. It's runs from deep, it's crosses from deeper areas of the field. Playing on the right wing is completely different. It's something that I've, you know my opinion on it, I've discussed it so many times on this show. That for me is never an option and for me will never work. Again, I don't really think I can elaborate too much on any further on what Roger says. I agree completely. James Tavernier's far from Rangers' biggest problems, but I also will accept that he's not shown the level of performance he did at times at last year, regardless of his numbers.
Thank you, Billy. Scott is on the other line. Scott, it's all been very much manager must go, that sort of stuff tonight. How do you feel about that topic?
I can understand the frustration, and it's only natural after that game yesterday that we can't sack Clement, and here's the reason why. He will get the sack, and I'll tell you when he'll get the sack. He'll get the sack at the end of the season where we win nothing. I came on at the start of the season and I predicted that exactly where we'd be. Before that game yesterday, to be fair, you've got to admit that we had a no bad run. I still expect us to finish second, but if we're that bad, what does it say for the rest of the players, the teams underneath us, that we're really, really that bad? And we're all that bad. You look through the players, I'm no convinced they're proper. Dessers, he could go tomorrow. Dowell, there's numerous players there, but we can't keep sacking managers. But I agree that he will probably get sacked at the end of the season, and we can't sack him now. No matter who we brought in right now, we're not going to win anything. So if we brought somebody in the next week who's going to win nothing the rest, what do we do? Do we sack him as well? Because that's what you do in it potentially.
Can they be better though? Is that maybe what people maybe look at? Can you bridge that gap a bit more successfully than is currently the case?
Well, I still think at the same time I'd still like to be proved wrong, but I still believe we'll win nothing. I don't think any manager could come in. Pep Guardiola could come in and get a tune out of their players. The reality that I watch, and I've been watching Rangers for 50 years now, is I'm expecting what I'm seeing. I predicted the score at half time yesterday. I'm sitting watching my wife and I told her we'll get beat 1-0 here, and they get beat 1-0. It's the same old. You can see how the games are going. It's not an excuse. Real Madrid couldn't play good in that part yesterday. It's no excuse how we get beat, because Kamarnock deserved it. But let's just see where we go in the next couple of games, and we might get a wee run. But no matter what run we get against the MD, even if we go up to Aberdeen and beat Aberdeen, we won't win nothing. We won't win nothing. So what happens if we sack a manager who's going to come in and still win nothing? What do we do?
I mean, there was a lot in there. You made the point there about, the manager, even Pep, couldn't come in and get a tune out of those players. A lot of those players were signed by Philippe Clement and Niels Koppen. It's not as if he's just come in the door 2 days ago and he's inheriting, a full team from somewhere else. Proper, who got a mention earlier on, Jeffrey, Barron, Diamande Cortez, who didn't play yesterday because he's injured. So, so many of these players now, Cherny, Bajrami, they are Philippe Clement signings. And I don't think they're some of them are clearly good players, they've got international caps, but together they're not looking like a better team than the one Clement inherited a year ago. They're just not.
We made it to nearly the end of the show without one of the main whipping boys getting a mention, but he was eventually dropped in. How did he perform yesterday?
Poor. Yeah. I thought really loose, really slack. I thought his hold-up play, again, was kind of the Dessers of last season that we've seen. I don't think he was much as a threat as he's been recently. I must say also that I think in terms of list of problems that Rangers have got that we just touched on with James Tavernier, I also think the Cyril Dessers is pretty low on that list as well. I think they've got bigger areas of issue. But I don't think he had a good game yesterday. I agree with a lot of points that Scott makes. I personally also don't think, I don't really think that I make Rangers favourites for any cup competition this year, whether it be domestically or the league title. But I don't think there's any doubt whatsoever that the manager should be getting more out the group of players that he's got.
Okay, thank you, Scott. It's a good time to call. We'll try and get you on next before we disappear for the evening. Can you name the nine Scots? Funnily enough, see what we did there. With a full international cap for Scotland: Scott Dobie, Scott McKenna, Scott McTominay,
Scott Brown.
Yes.
Scott Booth.
Yep. One more guess, please.
Scott Robertson.
Yes, and we'll get the rest of the answers next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to @ClydeSSB on X now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We won't dwell too long in the full-time teaser because it's still busy in the phones. That's when you know it's been quite a weekend. Can you name the nine Scots who've got a full cap for Scotland? Like Scott Booth, Dobie, Brown, McKenna, McTominay, Robertson. Give me one more each.
Under 21 manager, Scott Gemmell.
Scott Gemmell, yes.
Scott Severin.
Yes, I didn't think you'd get that one. Okay, one more to get. Let's see if you can get it in the last part of the show. This was bound to happen, and I do always feel bad about it, but there's a supply and demand inevitability. It was a great weekend, and we've not really got round at all. What happened to your Motherwell team? Everybody thought they were in good form. Dundee not in good form. It would be a home win. Where did it go wrong?
Actually started the game very well. First 10 minutes we were on the front foot. Had Dundee camped in the half for the most part. And then for the 11th minute onwards, second best. Thought Dundee were the better team throughout. Again, though, I don't think that changes it. We still have been in good form. I still think we've showed, you know, numerous points this season we're a good team. And again, I would just like to hopefully put it down to an off day. Again, need to bounce back and bounce back quickly because we're putting a very good Celtic side on Sunday, which is hopefully a good game.
I thought the goal should have been ruled out. I thought Andy Halliday was down with a head knock on the edge of the box, Roger Hanna. What are you laughing at?
That must not be a thing now.
I thought he was down for quite some time with a head knock before Lyle Cameron put it away, no?
You know, Sam, I didn't see it coming at all. I thought Motherwell were home bankers to win the game. The form you'd been in, the poor run of form that Dundee had been in. And, you know, Fraser Wishart was at the game and said, in the build up to the game, you know, if Motherwell can win this game, then maybe just shows that, you know, they're the real deal for the top six. But if they don't, you start asking questions and then, you know, you go and lose the game. And I think it's typical of the Scottish Premiership that when you see a game like that, it shows really any team can beat any other team at a given moment.
I'm half joking, a little bit joking about that. It's a Monday night where we're not debating that much on the refereeing front. That's quite refreshing. There's obviously a big talking point at the end at Celtic Park. Are you satisfied that does not hit Duke's arm on the line?
No.
Which body part do you think it struck?
Can it hit his chest? I don't know.
I've seen like thigh, I've seen midriff. Are you the same, Andy?
I was thinking of the goal disallowed for a minute.
The goal length.
I love this controversy you've flung up, Roger.
That he celebrated.
It looks as if it hits his inner thigh, yeah. No. I don't think it looks conclusive with either angle that I've saw. But to me, it certainly looks like he's an FI.
You wouldn't argue with any of the sendings off that we saw?
Could
Joe Newell have got a straight red?
Yeah.
When I saw it at the time, I thought, that's a straightforward second yellow and he's gone. When you see it again, there's an argument for that. Yeah, an argument. I think it's one of those that if it hadn't been a second yellow and he was off anyway, I wonder if the VAR might have directed Chris Graham to have a look at it.
Great result, Dundee United. So they go above Motherwell, and those two
point behind Rangers.
Those two would be that sort of in that bracket of, you know, like not surprise package sort of thing. You know, that maybe similar expectations for the season, both going well. United
highlighting the season. Jim Goodwin on his backside,
falling on his backside, celebrating the goal
and trying somehow to sort of flip himself back on his
incredible
feet.
Wasn't it?
It was brilliant.
And then at the same great time, moment. David Gray tries to kick a water bottle and misses.
Yeah,
maybe a sort of image for Hibs season. How much are Hibs in trouble? They go bottom.
Listen, they are in big bother. There is an Edinburgh derby 12 o'clock on Sunday. Hearts just off the back of a 4-0 win under a new manager, now above Hibernian. Imagine that, Edinburgh derby, the bottom two in the Premiership going head to head. David Gray badly needs a result.
Again, even if I take form out the equation, I never fancy Hibs over Hearts when it comes to these derbies. I think recent history not sort of proves that right. So, but I do think off of the back end, not only that, not only a defeat, but the type of defeat, being leading in the game in the 93rd minute to then lose two late goals, I think that's one of the defeats that can really psychologically affect a team.
Any of your former teammates giving you an inside track on Neil Critchley's early work on the training ground?
No, not yet. I'm sure time will come where I'll bump into somebody one way or another and have a chat about it. But listen, you know, I half laughed but half been serious at the start of the season. You always do seem to get that new manager bounce one way or another. And that's obviously how Hearts managed to get the first win of the season in very convincing fashion, it must say.
We need a longer show tonight, but let's squeeze in one more. Simon's a Kilmarnock fan. How good was that yesterday, Simon? Much did you enjoy it?
Yeah, definitely really enjoyed it. I actually don't think Kelly had to play that well, and I think, you know, Ranger fans can take that however we want, but I think we've played better this season and not came away with 3 points. I think on another day, if we hadn't got the goal we deserved, I might have been disagreeing with your refereeing comment. I think Tom Lawrence should have been sent off for a second yellow. I think that was pretty much cut and dry. That was a second yellow card. It's a yellow card if he anywhere else in the pitch. But not to moan, because shouldn't really moan about it. But yeah, so I think that, you know, comfortably we were a better team yesterday. I think if Matty Kennedy, you know, doesn't take his eye off that ball in the first half, we go 1-0 up. We had the better chances in the game. I think we were the better team. You know, I think we, hearing all the usual excuses but the pitch, I think I had to laugh when I heard Philip Clement in the press during the week mentioning the pitch, and I was like, well, it's in the heads of the players straight away. You know, he's given them an excuse, and anyone who's played on pitches before, plastic or grass, knows that plastic pitch is basically, good players can play well on it, but exposes, you know, bad to average players, because your first touch needs to be good, your passes need to be good, and the Rangers players showed that they were bang average. And I did this when I called up the last time that I was coming back up from London for the game, and I said that I was really confident that Kelly would get a result, and Hugh Keevans told me that I was talking nonsense, then said yesterday that Rangers would win comfortably. And just a wee start for him next time, Kelly, to host Rangers. 7 out of the last 11 games we've played at Rugby Park against Rangers, Kelly have won. So that is, I mean, what a stat that is.
Can't argue with the stats, man. Can't argue with that. Is this, I mean, Roger, we always kind of wondered anyway if Kelly were just suffering a bit from playing Europe and then maybe a couple of things not going their way. Is this them very much, you know, back, if that's the right word?
There was that European fatigue, and it was also that little batch of red cards early in the season, a couple for Joe Wright, one for Lewis Mayo, etc. Didn't help them at all. They've got too many good players through that squad to linger where they were in the table. They'll finish top six and with a bit to spare.
Okay, right. You two have some work to do on this teaser. We're looking for the 9 Scots with a full international cap for Scotland. Scott Booth, Dobie, Brown, Gemmell, McKenna, McTominay, Robertson and Severin.
I have had 2 text messages.
Oh, I don't like the sound of that.
From a man in a recliner in Motherwell.
Oh dear.
The first one said, don't put on my new Motherwell top and stretch it. And the second one is a piece of advice that he always gives at a moment like this.
Right, what have you got? You got anything in your paper, Andy?
It's the only one I've got.
The second piece of advice is, there's always a goalie.
Okay.
All right. Scott Cuthbert?
Nope.
Scott Bain.
Scott Bain.
Oh, Scott caps. Bain.
There we go. Well done. Thank you very much, Andy Halliday. And Roger Hannah, thank you. That was very, very busy at Rugby Park yesterday, clearly dominating things. The good news, the beauty of this show, we're always back for more tomorrow, 6 o'clock. And very quickly, we get into European mode as well. So I'm looking forward to that tomorrow night from 6 o'clock. Make sure you join us then and enjoy the rest of your Monday.